first three of Hebrews 11.
Where is it?
Yeah, it's after verse 2. I know. No, I'm talking about in my Bible here. Oh, I got so many scribbles on here. I overwrote it. Sorry. I got a bunch of scribbles over. I didn't see the number there where verse 3 started. Sorry about that. I figured it had to be in there, right after 2 and before 4. Exactly right. Verse 3. Yeah, we're going to tackle that today. Yeah, it's going to be tough. Right. I'm feeling bold. I'm feeling like Evel Knievel here of the Scripture Set. Hi, everybody. Martin Zender here. Evel Knieveling right into verse 3, the second part of verse 3, actually, because we covered the first part of verse 3 yesterday, that the eons, we are apprehending, by faith, we are apprehending the eons to adjust to a declaration of God. You have to apprehend this by faith, because there's no calendar written in the sky of God's aeonian times. It's there. I mean, it's set in stone, but we can't see it. So by faith, we are apprehending the eons to adjust to a declaration of God. Here's the whacked out verse. This irritates the daylights out of me. So that what is being observed has not come out of what is appearing. What does that mean? So that what is being observed has not come out of what is appearing. If anybody is trying to make sense here, the writer of this letter, Paul, he's doing a very poor job of it. Because this makes no sense whatsoever. And I can only take a guess at it, a stab. I stand on my head, smear grape jelly on my eyes, hop up and down on one foot and try to understand this. And did I mention squint while wearing welding glasses? All right. What is being observed? That is the times, this new time period, the era of the nations. What is being observed has not come out of what is appearing. The only thing I can figure out on this through my jelly-smeared welding glasses is that what is appearing would be the kingdom. The kingdom is appearing. Paul's been talking about the appearing of the kingdom, which is going to appear at some future time. So what was happening now during the adjustment of the eons has not come out of what is appearing. That is, this new administration is not related to the kingdom. All right, that's why everybody asks me, Martin, give me a sign of the end times. Give me a sign that the snatching away is imminent. And I can't do that. And that's good news to you. Why? Because the snatching away is not tied to anything Israelite. It's not tied to signs. It's not tied to the things that the Jews were supposed to look for, i.e. Matthew 24 stuff for the end times. We're not supposed to look for things. Because these are apples and oranges. They're separate times. The Jews are looking for the Messiah to set foot on the Mount of Olives. Same manner in which he left. We're looking for him in the air. So what we're observing now has not come out of that thing that for the Hebrews is appearing. It's totally unrelated. Now, I don't know why Paul didn't say, what I'm talking about now is unrelated to your prophecies. It's unrelated to Israel things. What I'm talking about now, this new era, the eons have been adjusted. What I would have said was, there's a new time period that has come that the prophets didn't talk about. It's called the era of the nations. But don't worry, God's not finished with you. He's going to pick up where he left off after this era has run its course. But this era does not tie into your past, and it doesn't tie into your future. That's what I would have said. Instead of what is being observed has not come out of what is appearing. I would not have said that without an interpreter. All right. I hope I made that clear to you. That's as best I can do with that verse. If anybody has anything else on that, you'll write me and I'll read it. And we'll all have a laugh together. So now we're going to go into verse 4. Now we're going to go individually to the heroes of faith that I introduced to you on Friday. By faith, Abel offers to God more of a sacrifice than Cain. through which he was testified to that he is just at God's testifying to his approach presence. You know, and this, once again, Charlie Foxtrot of words here. Okay, you got to really slog through this stuff. By faith, Abel offers to God more of a sacrifice than Cain. I got it that far. Through which he was testified to that he is just at God's testifying. So, trying to bring this into English, God testified that he liked Abel's sacrifice better than Cain's. And that itself is a testimony to us. God's testimony concerning Abel is our testimony about what God likes. And it's good to know what God likes, because then you can like what God likes. We all want to like what God likes, don't we? I do. So God liked the sacrifice. And now here, I'm going to read the thing again. I'm going to calm down and read it again. By faith, Abel offers to God more of a sacrifice than Cain, through which he was testified to that he is just at God's testifying to his approach presence, and through it dying, he is still speaking. Through it dying, he is still speaking. All right, what that means is, straining to interpret this, is that the testimony is still alive. Don't get any idea that Abel's still alive. The testimony, he's still speaking through the testimony, and we're supposed to learn something from it. Now, here's a passage from the Concordant Commentary, A. E. Nock, concerning Cain's sacrifice. Oh, I told you, you know what? I remember telling you that I was going to go into 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 1 Corinthians 10:11. You remember I read the passage from A. E. Nock Commentary yesterday, that those associated with this new grace find that in spirit, not the kingdom, but the new creation has come. So this does tie into what we are observing is not come out of what is appearing. So I guess I'm going to save that for tomorrow. I actually had notes on that today, but I'm getting caught up in this Abel thing here, Cain and Abel. Great example, Cain and Abel. So we're going to talk about tomorrow, just to give you a heads up here, read it ahead of time, 2 Corinthians 5:17, 1 Corinthians 10:11. This ties in with my favorite figure of speech, prolepsis, which I bragged about and advertised yesterday. Did not produce it today, going to produce it tomorrow. So let's move on to Cain. Cain, this is from A.E. Nock's Concordant Commentary. Cain is a type of natural religion. You remember, God wanted blood sacrifice, and this bothers a lot of people. It bothers me, because I hate blood. Don't watch any movies with blood in it. Don't watch any television with blood. Don't like blood. Don't like to have my blood taken from me. Don't like to see my own blood. Don't like to see other people's blood. Have never watched Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ because I don't like blood. I already get it. I got it. Okay, Mel, I understood what happened. You don't have to Hollywood it up for me. So, why is blood necessary? Well, it's because the seriousness of sin. The seriousness of sin requires sacrifice. And the soul is in the blood, Scripture says, and Christ suffered for sin, died for sin. We have to see how serious separation from God is. We have to see how serious it is to not be righteous. Then we're stunned when God pronounces us righteous. What? I'm righteous? But all this blood, you're righteous because of the blood. Okay? It's the ultimate blood, Jesus Christ's blood. So, this was all introduced to us in type through Cain and Abel. And Cain offered a bloodless sacrifice. He took from the produce of the ground. He thought that was all great and fine because that's what he did. He was a tiller of the ground, and God didn't like it. He spit it out. It's a bloodless sacrifice, which he has, this is the word used in Genesis, acquired from the cursed ground. So the ground was cursed. He acquired it. He didn't work for it. There was no sacrifice involved. It just came his way. He plucked it, offered it to God, and there was no sacrifice involved. Now, this is a type of the Christian religion, really, because any kind of religion, a bloodless religion, God hates. He spits it out of his mouth like he did with Cain's sacrifice. Why do I say Christianity is a bloodless religion? Two reasons. One is that they discredit, they disempower, disenfranchise the blood of Jesus Christ. The very thing that works the salvation of all, they don't think is effective. Efficacious, right? I mean, efficacious. I always wanted to use that word. Efficacious. And so they disregard, they really belittle, make null and void the blood of Christ. And this is Cain. He makes null and void the value of blood. Christianity, even though they preach blood of Christ, they make null and void the value of the blood, which speaks again of Christ's suffering. They do that by claiming that that the sacrifice of Christ didn't work and doesn't work apart from your contribution. So you have to save yourself by believing in spite of the blood of Christ. And even in spite of the blood of Christ, most of humanity will be tortured in hell for eternity. That's a bloodless religion. And secondly, Christianity doesn't believe that, how to put this? I'm not promoting working for salvation, but Christianity doesn't believe that being a believer entails any kind of price. Now, we're not talking about the price of salvation, because Jesus Christ did that. All right, we're firm on that. The price I'm talking about is the price of being an unashamed workman, rightly dividing the word of truth, an unashamed workman, somebody who digs for it, somebody who wants it, somebody who will sell out for Christ, who will sacrifice, not for salvation, but to be near him, to be one with him. This is the opposite of the popularity club that religion has become, and this is all typified by Cain. Abel was the good guy here. He recognized sin, and he was the first one whose blood was shed. Now, how ironic is that? Cain refused to shed the blood of an animal. Too valuable. My life is too valuable to shed it, to sacrifice it for Christ. Some people say today, my life is too valuable. I want to be popular. I want things in this life. So the irony is that Cain, who hated blood sacrifice because he offered cucumbers and romaine lettuce and carrots to God, actually shed his brother's blood. He wouldn't shed the blood of an animal, but he doesn't shrink from shedding the blood of Abel. This speaks to the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. They were all so careful to do everything right in the law, then they killed the Messiah. And that was wrong. That was really, really wrong. So this is the realm of faith. By faith, Abel offers to God more of a sacrifice. By faith, he couldn't believe that God would want an animal killed. It seemed like, what? There's so little life around here. You know, we're just starting off here in the Garden of Eden, and now you're telling me you want a death? You want blood? He just didn't understand it, couldn't believe it. It seemed so wrong of the God of life, and his mother's name was Eve, and her name means life. Everything's life. You got tons of food and fruit and growing up in the garden, and now this God wants death. And he wants you to clothe you with death and dead animals. And it's like, I can't understand it, but he did it. And that took faith to do it. It took faith to do what God wanted. Abraham on Mount Moriah taking up his son Isaac takes faith to do what God wants. By faith, Abel offers to God more of a sacrifice than Cain. And God testified to that. And he said, I like this. I like this man. I like this man because he simply believed me. He didn't ask questions. He didn't say, why do you want blood? He didn't say, how about a cucumber? No, that's what Cain did. Abel was the good guy. Abel said, I'm gonna do it God's way. That's the lesson. That's the faith of Abel. By faith, Abel offers to God more of a sacrifice. Simply believed God for what he said. And he's the first guy brought up here. Not sure if these are going in chronological order. Perhaps they are, because I see Enoch next, and then Noah, and then Sarah, and then, I think these are going in chronological order. That's another great revelation here in the Hebrews series. Okay, I'm going to deliver tomorrow, as promised, on 2 Corinthians 5:17, 1 Corinthians 10:11. In the meantime, God loves faith, and you are people of faith. It's a gift of God. Live it out.